You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Podcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 198. I'm Dan Hammond.
And once again, I am still Rogue Schindler.
All right, Rogue is back after Charlie filled in for him last week. Hope you're feeling better.
I am, thank you.
All right, we had a 1E tournament that you will probably hear more details than you possibly want, because we'll get to that in a bit. Also, we have just in a 2E spoiler from whatever mystery thing was posted on the front page there. I would imagine. Let's see what we got. Yeah. Because it looks like 29V16. We'll get to that. And we have a 1E spoiler as well from, looks like Homefront. That was sent to me from someone. Wow. I was given the name of a card to spoil, but no actual text about the card. So let me see what I can dig up here.
So we're going to spoil the name of a card.
Yeah.
Woo!
Awesome. All right, well... yeah. All right, well, let's start off with... This is supposed to be... according to the list, it's not going to be released until the last day, so we'll just talk about it. It's Surgery Under Fire. It's going to be card number... what is this, 23, it looks like?
Isn't that a mission?
Yes, so this is a mission in Homefront 4 that's going to be converted to first edition. This is this the picture? No, you know, I always get confused with this one and Runabout Search. Is it a runabout in front of a planet? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they look the same.
All right. Well, I have no idea what the text is going to be, so that'll be a surprise.
Well, I'm guessing it'll be something like the original. I was actually just pulling that up. I mean, most of the converted missions are not terribly different. I was going to say terribly interesting, but that seems a little insulting. But missions in general, not a, you know, super card type as far as, you know, exciting cards. Why is this keep... oh, because the link is different.
What?
Why won't this open?
All right. While we're both trying to open files, this is going to drop at Gen Con, so on Friday of this week.
Wait, what?
Right? Homefront?
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'm so out of the loop that I forgot that was so soon already. I guess that is Homefront season.
Mm-hmm. All right, Surgery Under Fire. This is... I'm just going to read what I've got here. It is a three-span, gorgeous-looking mission, because the image goes all the way up and all the way down, you know, beyond the borders of a 2E card.
Right.
It's 35 points. It looks like card number 23. And it is still a planet. What are the attemptability icons on the 2E card?
It is just Klingon and Federation.
Okay, then that has not changed. It's Fed Klingon. I guess maybe the order changed. Anyway.
Well, no, I said them. I said them backwards.
All right. The skill requirements. Sorry, the requirements for this mission are biology, medical officer, and strength greater than 36. How does that compare to the original?
It is the same, except for it has dropped leadership.
Okay.
So no longer requires leadership.
All right.
But two classifications.
Is there any... so we got a biomission specialist. There's a Klingon one for Premier and Ogawa, right?
Yeah.
Right. But I can't think of offhand a mission specialist who just has a medical or just has officer. That sounds unlikely.
No, definitely not the officer. I can't think of a medical. I'm trying to think if there was one, it would be, you know, one of those random feds that has double, you know, like Leia Brahms with her engineer.
I wonder if there's a random Ferengi with medical, science and medical or something.
Oh, maybe. Oh.
Their mission specialists.
There is one.
Classifications.
There's a Ferengi that has just science and medical, but I can't remember which one is Dr. the classification and which one is the skill.
Yeah. All right. Well, since there's no Ferengi icon on here, it will be not impossible, but a difficult Ferengi mission, and there's probably better choices. Still, yeah. 35-point mission, 3 span. Let me zoom in on what it says here. Angelon Prime, assist with triage of heavy combat casualties. All right.
Sure.
Pretty solid.
Well, it seems like it will, you know, with looking forward as far as, you know, beyond Homefront, you know, the next block is DS9, and that is a, you know,
DS9
that
story.
Surgery Under Fire, isn't that a DS, yeah, I believe that is a DS9 story.
That was a runabout flying around on the front, so I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
All right. So we look forward to that. Again, the picture is awesome. I wish I could share it with you, but this format I cannot. So there we go. Let me close that up. Do we cover everything? Card number, span, planet, 35 points, Fed, Klingon. I think we got everything.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Then let's talk about what you did on Saturday. You did something that I had been thinking about for a while. You played TNG Cardassians.
I did. And just as a side note, Dr. Bortz is correct. Science, classification, medical skill.
Nice. All right. Well, get your Latin. Score 40 points.
But yeah, I had been wanting to play TNG Cardassians to try them out. And you know, basically all of the new stuff I haven't got to a chance to play. We, you know, our last 1E tournament was a draft. And I think before that was a regional that I missed because I was out of town. So it's been a long time since I played Constructed 1E, and Sky's the Limit has been just taunting me, waiting for me to come and play. And I couldn't decide between playing those new Android Borg non-aligned folks or the TNG Cardassians. And it turns out neither is really self-sufficient, and they work pretty well together.
Okay.
I ran out of time as is, you know, per protocol,
yeah,
for a 1E tournament, and so I went online and poked around, and it was not hard to go and find. There is a fairly the one I got was from Andreas Limmer, but it looked like, after that, looking at a couple others and his notes about being inspired by somebody else, that this is a deck that is going around, versions of this deck. It's really, I mean, I found at least one other that was identical. So, but it's got a lot of, it had a lot of Delta flavor to me, because there were three or four places you could play guys for free, and you know, it was using between continuing committee or not continuing committee. I do that every time. Continuing mission card draws and pitching your hand with handshake card draws. It was basically get a handful of cards and play as many guys as you can for free, and then get another handful of cards. And I was really excited because I did several test draws and it went really well. And then I got into my first game and I just got crap. And then I played you and I got like, okay, this is crap. I'm going to handshake my, you know, my first handshake. Finally, I drew into it, hadn't gotten one. And I drew like 3 ships and 3 more handshakes.
Yeah. It sounded like you got a pretty tough draw. How did your games for the rest of the way go?
Very well. I won all the rest of my games. Oh. So we actually, you and I recorded our game from this tournament, in the second round last weekend, and that's going to be a future episode. So you'll hear the downside of all of this deck, but really I had a lot of fun playing it. It moved really quickly. You know, it was Central Command, the Taken Prisoner, which is the Cardassian TNG engine. Followers of the One was stocked in my deck, but I usually had it out on my second or third turn.
Oh, because you go through a lot of... How many copies did you have? Just one?
3.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right. 3. For as many handshakes as you did.
Yeah. And then attentional hands. And with the Husnock outpost seating the Husnock ship, I had a Cardassian outpost for that. So I was able to play mostly universal non-alliance, but also Cardassians if I was Cardassian heavy in my hand. But
yeah.
You know, I mostly the Borg, you know, a couple copies of certain ones, and then a few like Suna and Sunad, Vakor support folks. But it really moved fast. I got the feeling I was not interacting as much as I should have. But my opponents just didn't lend itself to as much interaction as I would have liked. I played a Delta Quadrant guy and two Klingons with lots of strong universal guys with lower decks.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to fight you, and I didn't want to fight Charlie, and then I got distracted. My one, like, big fat target would have been Thomas's Federation folks. But we ended up, like, spreading out the space line. Mm-hmm. And I got distracted by him dropping Earth as the first mission, and I was like, I've got Obsidian Order,
yeah,
and I can get it out really easily. I go through my deck so fast, I could totally get that out, and so I got distracted by that, and that screwed up my space line strategy and distracted my dilemma strategy, and it was like the third turn before I realized that I don't actually have
the espionage?
An espionage or Sealock. I'm used to playing Romulan.
Right, where Sealock
is. And that
is
popping
standard,
up, where Sealock is in there just in case anyway. And I just totally forgot that I had to have something else to attempt that mission. Luckily, he was not planning on doing that mission either.
Oh. Did you put a weak combo there or something?
Not so much a weak combo, but as it turns out, in hindsight, a bad idea combo. I dropped Cardassian trap, or no, sleeper trap. Because I was like, well, if I hit it, if he hits it, I can download my guys and beat him up, and if I hit it, he won't have any Cardassians to download.
Mm-hmm.
And then a wall, like Ferengi infestation. So, knowing it was there, I was like, okay, I'll get the requirements, and I'll get 2 security and a bunch of cunning and go. And then I couldn't, you know, at least I didn't, like, go to attempt it before I realized that, but then I also realized, yeah, and also, if he had attempted, and I downloaded all my guys and attacked him, he would have defended Homeworld.
Yeah,
and my game would have gone much less well than it did. I ended up getting a timed win, just because we both had, dilemma shenanigans. He got through at least 2 of my missions and then just couldn't solve. He got through the dilemmas, but not the mission.
Yeah, yeah.
It was fun. I would totally play it again.
That was my question, yeah. Would you, this is probably the 4th or 5th iteration of this deck, as you said, is going around. What would you change? How were the ratios of non-aligned to Cardassians and things like that?
Well, I made very few changes because, as we always say, I got something good and then I made it bad because I put the cards I would put in it, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna try really hard to restrict that. The only really strategic changes I made were, I swapped out a couple seed cards because he was he was running Dominion War Efforts.
Yeah.
There's only 4 universal TNG Cardassians.
Okay. So he was expecting the game to be over in 5 turns or something?
Yeah. But he was with this. So it was like sleeper. You can get Sleeper Trap and download 3 of them to attack, or you can get them. I mean, and I suppose you could go either way, depending on which one you hit. Obviously, you could go get your support personnel. And they're all support personnel, as it turns out. No, 3 of them are. Goran is not, because he's awesome. But, so you can do one or the other, but not really both. So it was either put in a second copy of all of those guys.
Right.
But none of them had really crucial skills.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that's two seed slots, and I was already getting a lot of guys fast. So I ended up taking those out and seeding a mission debriefing, which I think saved me at least one game, probably two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't even have one in the deck. So I seeded that, so most of the dilemmas seemed a lot more powerful just getting the stop, if you can get the mission stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I think I added another dilemma or something. And I was another one of those, well, I'm going to take the couple of ideas I have and I'm going to choose one when I get there. And then I, of course, got there and went, oh, God, which one am I going to do? And poor JD sat there and watched me agonize over it. And okay, now I'm ready to start. And then I forgot to take those cards and set them put them in my triples box or something. So I threw them back in my box and then put my deck in there. And then they all got shuffled in, and I'm like, had to take out the right ones, and then I didn't take them all out. And so
yeah,
I really got to finish making those decisions before I leave.
Yes.
I do wish I had thrown in. I also added a lower decks, which was huge. That was a good add. And I was.
Were you playing with a few captains? Ready room doors to get it, or did you just throw it in?
No, I just threw it in. And that was the other thing I almost did. Well, I've got all captains to all of my ships. Mm-hmm. Maybe throw in a couple ready room doors, and captain's orders, and all of a sudden this 45 card deck was getting to 50 and 55 and 60 and. I only have like 8 handshakes, and there were already 7 in there, and I managed to deduce, at least what I think, is the rule of thumb, if you're handshaking, which is to have 1 for every 7 cards in your deck, so you can theoretically play 1 every turn and get another 7 cards.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty good ratio.
But I was really trying not to balloon it like I usually do, so... Some good changes, some changes I wish I'd gone with, some I might do again, but I'd be really interested to go. I did take out a couple of guys to make it Cardassian.
For the Achievo?
Yeah. And I would have... Those Universal Borg are really good, especially with lower decks, especially coming out for free.
Mm-hmm.
At two places at once. I would probably put in a second copy of all of them, maybe third, because they had really good skills to get past. They have a couple of holes which you can fill in with whatever you splash them with, but I mean, it would be good to make them more than majority, or even just go all non-aligned.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I really do like the idea of splashing, just even if it's majority non-aligned, and just maybe 5 guys or something. Do it the other way, where you start with Followers of the One, and you play the other play engine to play your
sure.
to play just look through all the affiliations, find out all the guys that play who has the most guys who play for free, who fill the skill holes and help with your missions, and just run that to see how it goes.
Yeah,
that'd be fun to try.
Yeah, and Cardassian was a nice compliment because they have so many, and I was talking to Johnny about it afterwards, realizing that they probably have the most personnel that play for free at a headquarters rather than with the engine from TNG.
Hmm.
Because in TNG, you got a very limited view of the Cardassians. It was they only ever encountered them a few times, and it was always the commander that they're talking to.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, like half of the TNG Cardassians are gulls, and play for free at the Central Command. So yeah. That was huge, and there's a decent variety of skills, unlike the Office of the President, where you got plenty of admirals and ambassadors, but you have 18 VIPs and 10 leadership and 10 diplomacy and nothing else.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you're looking for try out TNG Cardassian, take a look at Rogue's deck. I know I will be because that's something I've been looking for.
You played.
Yeah.
I was gonna say now you played the one other thing that I was looking at, that is. the sky's the limit heavy.
Yeah, I was playing the Generations Folk. I was playing illegitimate leader of the Empire with Sorin and the Nexus. I had an idea that I was going to solve a space mission, right, and then get a cryo satellite with Madame Guinan and the artifact you need to solve the space route, right?
Right.
So instead of solving a mission and getting the artifact, you solve a mission and you get the artifact and the person you need to attempt the mission. That was my plan. And then I'd go do the planet mission, and then I'd have a planet in space, and I'd be done. And then I realized that the whole point of the energy ribbon is to turn it into a space mission. So that was kind of silly. And then I just kind of I'd be wasting a seed card. And I'd have to, you know, half the fun is you just do planet missions and you turn it into a space mission. You don't have to put as much, you know, navigation and astrophysics in your or astrometrics in your deck. You know, I was right. Astrophysics and stellar cartography in your deck, because you're not going to be facing a lot of space dilemmas. So I kind of went back to the drawing board, and I was kind of bummed out because I really thought that was a great idea until I sat down and started looking at the cards. I did what you did. I looked around online and just looking for something. I think I went to the Redirect Energy Ribbon and then looked at all the decks that had recently used it. And I found Charlie's on there and a couple other ones. There was one, a guy had set up a 6-planet mission deck and then had the Energy Ribbon. And I want to say he also had Genesis, the 2E conversion Genesis in there. But his game plan was for you as his opponent to see, oh, I see what you're doing. You're going to do 1 or 2 planet missions and then convert one of these to a space mission. So I'm going to put all my good dilemmas there. Meanwhile, he went and scored 140 points from planet missions for the win.
Wow. Yeah, because if you only have a few strong planet dilemmas,
they're all going to go one place, and then you
got to go one place.
You got to throw all those bad space dilemmas somewhere.
Wow. So that's really funny.
That's devious, and I liked it. I took a long look at that deck. But recently, I'll tell you, recently, I think it was Johnny who brought the all-planet deck, so that was still on my mind that people might still be thinking about that and having the balancing act. So I didn't do that. I found another fake-out deck, and this is the one I ended up copying. It's James Monsonbrotten. He made this deck that was 10 space and 2 planets. So it looked like a Borg invasion deck.
Ugh.
So, you know, they will be coming, or they are coming. I forgot what the 1E card and what the Lord of the Rings card. But you would say, okay, you've got all these space. I got to put something there so that you don't just play your Borg and do 2 easy harness particles. Meanwhile, he goes and plays these 2 missions, these 2 planet missions, and since space you can insert anywhere, he knows that they're going to be right next to each other. And you do 1 mission for 50 points, and then you go over there and do another mission for 50 points, and you're done. I liked most of what that deck was doing, but I didn't want to play with 10 space. So I made myself a contingency plan and put in other missions I can do, pretty much. I put in I put in 2 more planet missions and 2 space missions. All of them pretty easy for that illegitimate deck. Their skill set is not really diverse, but the missions that I was using seemed really to fit well with the all-star in that deck, which is the chick.
Zegoff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she was good. A tank.
Yeah. So I put in Explore Black Cluster, which you just need cunning, and Navigate Argolis Cluster, which I see is being converted. So I'm glad I got the use of that in. But actually, now that I mention it, the conversion is easier because it doesn't have an attribute requirement. But all those skills are pretty good, and I could get some mission specialist points. And I missed the first round. I was actually, I was planning on not playing because we had seven people again. And apparently Matt had a bad first round and said, you know what, here's my $5 entry fee, I'm dropping, I'll see you later, and left.
Wow, so okay.
We said, okay, I guess we'd rather you be happy somewhere else than not happy here. And so I jumped in, gave myself the buy in the first round because that's what I was going to do. I was going to have 50-50. I'm going to take the buy, I'm not going to play, maybe I'll take the buy, and if someone else shows up, I'll play, you know, whatever. But anyway, I ended up taking the buy. I got paired up with you in the second round, and then I got paired up with Johnny in the third round. And all the things that went right for me in my game with you went badly for my in my game with him. It was like, so I took a lot of this guy's deck, and I didn't change very much. I added a few nanopober substitutions so I could get more mission specialists out, because they matched my space missions, and, you know, more two-for-one bodies, right?
I
put in,
As soon as you dropped that, I was like, why didn't I put that in? I've got all these Borg.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say I put in something else. Oh, I redid all his, he was playing a very specific dilemma set to try to get the TNG achievement. So I took that out and put in my standard medical drain package and put in a few disruptor overloads just to keep kits off the table. And I changed out. He wasn't running a queue. He just had a few ref cards as seeds. So I changed around a lot of the seed cards and things. But what I didn't change was the number of ships, which was kind of a red flag for me in the beginning. There are two ships in the deck. One you can download with illegitimate leader, the Chao Zhou, and the other is the Tong, which you can use for playing a ship drop.
Sure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that was it, and I got. I made some tactical error. I want to say Johnny went like Hail Mary and pulled the ref card that adds a computer skill to your mission.
Oh yeah, Kobayashi.
No, the ref card.
The ref card access denied.
Access denied, right? I want to call it a Ferengi, but it's not, because it's always paired with it. And
right.
I had one, but it was computer skill was required by the mission, so I needed a second one. So I thought to myself, all right, well. I've got one in my discard pile. I can nanoprobe him back to hand. Or no, I could dig for him, get him back to hand. And then all I got to do is get my ship back. Well, how am I going to get my ship back? What's the fastest way of doing that? I've got a space-time portal. I can pick up my ship and just play to my outpost. So I did. I had no Klingons at the outpost. So I had my non-aligned mission specialist with computer skill waiting for some Klingon to show up so I could fly back to the mission.
Oh, so no!
I was waiting for me to be solved. I had another mission nearly cleared out. I needed an officer, which they were all over there, so I could have walked back over. He had used his last ref card to get that. That's why total Hail Mary. So he had no in the zone to stop me. All I had to do was get ships back over there, and meanwhile, he's just slamming into these dilemma combos. I've managed to kill most of his science. He was playing with the science crew, the metaphasic particle team, and I just kept whacking his science guys and blowing up his kits, and it was it. I think the last thing he needed, one of his medical personnel, was a Hippocratic Oath away, and it was kind of like, okay, that's my countdown. As soon as he's clear, he can get it and go. And I just couldn't draw into any Klingons to play over there. And had I thought about it, it would have been about the same as if I just beamed up and flew back to the outpost. But, you know, I really thought I was pressed for time, so I did what I thought I could, and I could. So, there are some things that this deck needs, and that is a universal Klingon ship that you can download with Attention All Hands. That would have been nice.
Yeah.
I think the only time I use space-time portal is incorrectly. I might take that out. He had some interesting cards in the tent that I never tented for. Established landing protocols to get around, you know, beaming shenanigans. Stone knives and bearskins to get around a lot of equipment. I thought about trying that. In our game, when you had a bunch of equipment on the table and you were attacking my guys, I thought about going to fetch that. Tenting for it, playing it there, and deactivating your weapons. But, you know, then I wouldn't have been able to solve as easily without my kits, but it's been a long time since I played with Q's Tents in my deck to fetch interesting cards, you know, just kind of cards as you need it. So that was kind of fun to do.
Yeah. That was interesting to watch because it's supposed to be a really big sacrifice, you know, if you're playing with Traveler or a surprise party or whatever, you know, to get your end turn card draws, you play that Q's Tent and you don't get them. But with Continuing Committee, if you're drawing all your, you know, especially if you're playing, or if, you know, you're handshaking or whatever, you do all your draws at the beginning, and, you know, oh, I lose one draw at the end of my turn.
Yep.
Boo-hoo, to get this awesome card.
Yep.
It's like sacrificing, oh, instead of, you know, drawing a card, I got exactly the card I wanted.
Yep. Yep. It's a pretty good trade. It's a fun deck. I need to make some changes before I draw it up, bring it out again, but I did like playing Illegitimate Leader after seeing it fail so many times in our drafts. Seeing it played with Lursa and Bator from the new set and the old and Duros from LFL. that was fun. I liked it. Yeah, so maybe one or two changes. It was tough to really think about what Q cards I wanted in my deck and not just throw in 13. But that was a sacrifice with being able to play 10. So.
Right.
My last round I played against JD, and did you play against JD? Yeah, first round.
I did. He was my first game, yeah.
So, yeah, as you said, he was Delta Quadrant. He ran into Gomtu and got blown away sideways in Voyager, and he hadn't played on any other ships yet, and then he tried another space mission and hit the cloud, and that was the end.
Oh, no!
Yeah, Voyager went away, and he drew and drew and drew until he got an isomagnetic disintegrator, and then he played it and drew and drew and drew and never saw another ship he could play. It was hard. I mean,
well, I heard at one point somebody was like, "Can I mulligan?" And you guys were like, "Yeah, can we just mulligan this whole game?"
Yeah. He had me locked out at back to me needing a universal ship. The Chao Zhou and the Tong don't have tractor beams.
Oh,
yeah.
Dang.
So I got locked out with a radioactive garbage cow. I had earlier played my Arbiter of Succession on two random guys and killed off one of my officers, not realizing that the number of officers on the deck is pretty slight, and I ran into a maglock, so I had to dig for another one. Yeah, there's five in the deck, and I barely got the third one out when I needed it. And there was another... Oh, I thought...
There's no... couldn't download one with the...
You know, not Kargan has honor, right?
Clag
is one of the guys I've got, but he was mission specialist in that game because I needed the navigation. It was. I really thought I was going to be out of luck. I hit a executive authorization. I'm reading everybody's lore trying to find something. Till he pointed out that the Trilithium weapon control pad.
Had.
Will get me past it. So, anyway, we won't talk very much about our game. As you said, we recorded our game, and we're going to post it as next week's episode while I'm away at Gen Con. So that'll be interesting. If you're interested in a 1E game of just truly epic proportions, I think. I'll say that because I won, I think. But
if by epic you mean everything going right for you and very few things going right for me, that was, I guess that fits.
So what I'd like, because I know we both made mistakes and I was running around making rulings and things left and right. So I'm going to try to edit some of our, you know, silent thought time out and then post it. But I'd be thinking time. I'd be interested in to hear if anyone is willing to slog through it. A, anything that we said that was obviously a cheat because we just weren't paying attention. any just horrific tactical errors. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, your horrible draw because that's not really a tactical error. But, you know, if there was very obviously something that we should have done that we did on a later turn that we could have done on the first turn. I don't think my timing has ever been right between the tents and the AMSs because I played an AMS deck a while ago, and it's your card play. So when you've got the one and data in your hand that are also card plays, it's kind of hard to juggle exactly what you want to do. At some point, you know, the one is as good as two mission specialists, 13 sure. attributes and lots of skills, or at least data was. But anyway, I'd be interested in hearing anything that I did wrong. And we've got that bag of buttons, Section 31 buttons to give out. So let me know what you think.
Yeah, we definitely made an effort, at least at the beginning, to try to narrate most of what we did.
Yeah.
I know towards the end, I kind of started dropping off as I was trying to focus more on, you know, how to get out of the mess I was in. But hopefully it's at least still, you're still able to follow what's going on. I surely made some mistakes, but it's always entertaining to, obviously hindsight is 2020, so... look back for us.
Yeah. Both of our decks are posted in the tournament. If you're looking for the tournament, it's deck... the tournament ID is... the tournament ID is 5800. It's the tournament I ran on the 10th of August at 3 o'clock in Risa. It looks like the top four players and Matt have posted their deck list, so we're still waiting on TV and JD. But congrats to Johnny on the day for running the table with his OTF Federation TNG with Scientific Diplomacy. It was a good deck. I'm sorry you didn't get to play against it. It was pretty fun.
Yeah, he's the only person I didn't play, except for Matt.
He says it every time. The ability to play with Premier, Riker, and Picard, and Worf, and all those guys, that's just fun.
Oh, yeah. It's totally fun. I enjoy that in TNG with the continuing mission, and I enjoy that with the Tin Draft. It's just a lot of fun to play with those guys. Really hoping that is echoed in DS9, because I was thinking about that earlier when JD picked up a box of Deep Space Nine for I don't even know how much. Hmm. But it was a relative deal considering how much, it was like something like retail. Original retail, but you always think of that. When I think of that, I think of, okay, well, you got the Bajorans, a lot of core Bajorans and a lot of core Cardassians for the big, free play deck or for the resistance deck. You don't think about the characters that I want to think about when I look back and remember how much I enjoy DS9 working together.
Yeah.
And, Sisko and Dax and, mm-hmm. and O'Brien and Bashir, all kind of fall by the wayside from that. So, obviously in 2E they remedied that, but it would really be cool to do that in 1E. So, Picard and Riker, lots of fun. Let's hope DS9. High hopes. No pressure, 1E designer guy.
That's not me. I'm looking at that one from afar. But anyway, speaking of looking at things from afar, Gen Con.
I will be monitoring.
Yeah. So
you will be busy. I will be monitoring.
I'm planning, as I've been telling everyone who listened, I've got one job, and that's to run Tribbles at 10 o'clock every night. I've got 12 decks ready to go here. I hope you don't mind. I borrowed and printed a couple of yours.
No, that's fine.
To give out. I'm planning on taking all these sheets with me on the flight and just cutting up all the way there. And when I get there, buying a couple of boxes of tribbles and a couple of boxes of sleeves and just making decks.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I'll be teaching people how to play and running the 10 o'clock tournaments. And really, anytime there's five of us who want to sit down and play, I will be running a tournament for that, because why not? It's Tribbles.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, there's second edition starts Continentals day one on Friday, 6 rounds. Continentals continues on Saturday for top 16, 5 round tournament.
Sure.
And then on Saturday. And first edition starts up 5 round tournament on Saturday as well. So, if let's just say that this is Alternate Universe Rogue, you've got your Alternate Universe button, and you're going to go play in the 2E Second Edition Continental Championship. What are you expecting to see?
A lot of stuff I don't like.
You're expecting a lot of, like Maquis and Big Borg and...
Yeah, a lot of deck manipulation, a lot of Krug.
Yeah.
A lot of Greasy Dukat. TOS is always a force to be reckoned with their kind of the equalizer with Kirk and all of their nullification stuff. Of
yeah.
course, TNG is a monster solver. I don't even know what I would consider playing, but I certainly would. I don't know, maybe TOS, just so I could try to cut down on the nonsense.
Yeah, just be Mr. Meta Control, Meta Police.
Yeah.
Yeah. And on the other side, on first edition, I'm expecting a lot of TNG, just a lot of TNG. I know that the Ferengi fleet has been hammered a bit with the change to Ferengi operations and the new mission that came out, but there's still going to be a lot of Marauders on the table flying around, beating people up, I think.
Yeah, I think it's still, and that's kind of how you want it to go when you errata a card, I would assume, is not to just make it completely useless, but to take it back down to being playable and competitive, but not overly powerful. And that Ferengi deck is still fun to play. I think it just brings it down to a more reasonable level. I think the Klingon... With that change, though, I would give the upper hand on the battle deck back to the Klingons. I still think that they are really, really well matched with having their engine plus the PAW downloads to get people out and get ships staffed.
Yeah.
And be ready to come and beat you in the head, especially when they can hang out cloaked.
What do you think about the big space Borg deck?
I don't like it, but it's entertaining. But back before the Ferengi were nerfed, I was within one mission of coming and blowing up a cube before it could not blowing up. That's an overstatement. Attacking a cube before it could get its particle off on its last turn. I don't know.
You think it'll make
I don't
appearance?
Like this. Oh, definitely. Absolutely. Absolutely. In some form or other, it may not be the gigantic, 12 space or whatnot, but I'm sure there will be some, they will be comings, in lots of spaces somewhere.
Yeah. So, what would you be playing if you were going and playing in the 1E tournament? Something fun? Maybe go back to the Mirror Quadrant?
I would like to go back to the Mirror Quadrant before it gets revamped. If it does, I know it was in the original 3-block plan for 1E, but I do like how it plays now. I kind of dropped off since I played it 10 times in a row, not in a row, but 10 times to get the achievement. Even though I made it different every time, I know people were still sitting down and like, oh, Terran Empire. So going somewhere else where they won't be like, oh, Terran Empire again.
Mm-hmm.
It is a lot of fun to go to a big tournament where apparently people don't play Terran Empire, and I don't understand why. You should go check out my thread on the boards, and it will tell you everything you need to know on how to play it and be relatively effective.
That's a pretty good deck.
It is cool to show up and people go, yeah, I know, like I used to look when I sat across from your board deck. Like, okay.
Yeah, just tell me when
you're done. Do whatever you're doing, and I'll go when you're done. So,
hey, my achievements finally clicked in.
Yeah?
Yeah, they didn't happen until today. I was wondering why.
Oh, like, well, the results were not put in the system when I went to check Saturday night, so you may have missed it. Clicked over until Sunday, but then it still should have been Sunday night, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about it, but, you know, I just refreshed, and now I have my TNG Klingon player, so huzzah.
Booyah. And the sky's the limit.
Yes. I played a self-controlling dilemma. Scored me 10 points. all right, then let's... Thus ends the Gen Con preview. Oh, one last question. Do you take your rescue deck or your tally deck to North American Continentals? Or something else?
Since I'm not going, well, I would take both and probably decide when I sat down. But I played my rescue deck to make sure it was still playable. I resleeved it and swapped some stuff around to send it on its way as
as your proxy?
As my proxy. But then I don't know, you guys all kind of shut me down. It was like everybody, I mean, Rescue is a very popular deck in our meta. I know a lot of people play it, but particularly in our meta. So Recycle is maybe more prevalent than it would be in general, certainly on the world's scale, I mean, I've won a high-level event with the Rescue deck. You've won a high-level... Other people have won high-level events with your Rescue decks. You know, it's out there. People are playing it. So I'm sure that Recycle is going to be something that people are bringing.
Yep.
The tally is always there, and it is very powerful. And you know, it is the... That discard tally, you know, Toxin is really the only thing that's going to slow it down.
Yeah, yeah, but combo with Misaka, that's hard to deal with. I think that was one that I printed and I'm taking along, so someone can borrow that. That's probably one of the best out there, in my opinion.
If you really want to suck it up and slow that deck down without benefiting yourself, take the other card.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that everybody bitches about it, but nobody's willing to take the hit and not gain the points. So,
right. Well,
you know, when you're sitting there faced with, well, now I have to choose between 50,000 points and 100 and not giving you 50,000.
Yeah. It's a choice you want everyone else not to make, but it's not a choice you can make yourself, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I think If I were to choose, I think the Rescue deck probably takes a little bit more practice and knowledge to play, would you say?
I would not dispute that. It does require... it was a long time before I played one. I watched other people a long time watching, you know, learning before I even attempted to build it. And even then, it's, you know, it takes practice to learn, okay... Rescue, don't always rescue if you can, but get this at the right moment, or pitch these if you can, and it definitely
evolve,
is a...
not to evolve.
Yeah.
Alright, well, like I said, I've got 12, I mean, I think I went through the list and picked my favorite poison deck, and picked my present discard deck, and favorite rescue, and favorite go, and favorite bonus, and battle, and utilize, I took JD's utilize, JD won the tournament, so I printed out a copy of his deck, and Stefan had a deck that was just ridiculous looking, so, and he won a lot of events with that. I printed out a copy of that. I'll have a lot, so come and borrow a deck from me, even if it's just to play in one of the practice rounds at 10 o'clock or during the day, and if you need to take it with you, that's fine, because that's why I'm printing it out and taking it, so very good. Hope to see you all there. There's one or two other bits of business to talk about. I can close the Gen Con tab and talk about the raffle. Have you placed any tickets?
Ooh, I did. I actually I posted my deck from this weekend's tournament today and saw that I got a new ticket.
Yes, congratulations.
So I went to put it in, and there were already bins.
There are finally bins, I think is what you meant to say. They were supposed to go up a few weeks ago, but, you know, I've got some. Finally had some time, and now they're up. There are already a lot of tickets in the ones that you would expect it, which is the Agonizing Encounter, the Erador, yep.
And those are the two I picked.
That rotational damage marker has a lot in it as well, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. Everything has some tickets in it, and there are also some interesting things that we set aside for the day of, including the Ducat military advisor foil, the one that's kind of rare. So that's probably the marquee of the day. All the information is up in the article that I posted the other day. Keep in mind that the day of raffle is going to be at an odd time. It's going to be 7 in the morning.
7 a.m.
Pacific time for the benefit of those in other countries. It'll probably be extra late the time after this, and then it'll go back to normal time, and we'll just rotate it around.
At least it's on a day where I will be not traveling for once.
Yes. Very good. You want to remote in and hope to be there? All right, very good. That closes that. Oh, congratulations, as I said, to JD for winning the Tribbles tournament locally, narrowly edging out Charlie's using my bonus deck by 50,000 points at 600,000. And I can close that tab. close that tab. I can close that tab. And that leaves one more, and that is the Tui spoiler from this upcoming set number 29, apparently, according to this card. You want to take a look at this?
I am looking at it right now. I got to tell you, mm-hmm. This looks so good that when I opened it at first, I was like, where's the Klingon ship? Because this is clearly that shot from Star Trek VI where they're blowing up the Claudius.
This has got to be from the remastered next TOS? Yeah.
I had to double check because it's that sort of over the nacelle mm-hmm. perspective of the Enterprise, but it is that so shiny and very... very crisp shot of the original.
Yeah, there's no bloody
yeah,
anything on that. We went to the same place. All right. So this is as you said, this is a picture of the Enterprise shooting phasers at something off in the distance.
Yeah, just a little pinprick of light from what we can tell so far.
Yeah, it's called War Games, and I'll go ahead and share the picture there. Okay, that's good enough.
It's up.
And, really?
So you can see it's a dual dilemma.
Yeah. It's a dual dilemma. Let me do that. There we go. All right, dual dilemma, 4 cost. And it starts with a W, so you know this is going to be toward the end of the dilemmas for those list makers out there. This is 29V16. However,
16.
Yeah. However, standard disclaimers apply that this may not be a final name and number and anything. And from what we know, I don't know much of anything. Who knows when this is going to be? It's going to be, I think the thing said soon. So usually it says like fall or summer. I'm going to guess, since spoilers just started a couple of weeks, maybe first couple of weeks of September.
Yeah, it's usually like a month out, right? Once they start spoilers,
so we'll call
a month ahead of time or so. So. Yeah.
All right, game text. But,
your opponent chooses one of his or her completed missions. So if I'm playing this on you and you're facing it, I pick one of my missions. I had to parse this a couple times before I got it. So your opponent chooses one of his or her completed missions. Unless you have the skills needed to complete that mission, all of your personnel are stopped.
All right, so this is going to be a card that you're not going to play early. It's going to be a mid-game card, because if I'm playing on this U, I will have had to have finished a mission.
Exactly. And I read this, I thought this was a late-game opponent card, because I was like, I pick one of your other missions. Yeah. So after you've completed a mission, I can make you have those other skills, but this is even better.
Yeah, because
particularly if we're playing different, very different style decks.
Yeah, you have not built your deck to solve my mission. In fact, what would be the best mission to try this on?
The first thing that comes to my mind is something really specialized, like the Romulan Cardassian team up space mission,
where you have to have
like 2 Obsidian Order, or 2 Intelligence and 2 Treachery. I'm sorry, TOS.
Yeah.
Do you have two intelligence? You know, something crazy like that. But, you know, any kind of special, you know, if you're playing TNG empathy and you want to drop it on, you know, I don't know, an empathy mission.
I mean,
empathy, telepathy, I guess, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me, when as intended, I'm sure, it makes me think about what bizarro mission can I make my deck try to solve first?
How about Ruripente?
Ruripente, which one is that?
That's like some stuff on the ground then intelligence on your ship.
Right. Wasn't there just a mission that you had to have less than a certain number and a minimum number of people attempting?
Oh, right. That weird Ferengi mission.
Yeah.
It's like cunning greater than something with less than something.
Yeah.
Or like four acquisition.
All right. Well, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with that. So you want to hit the lore before we go on?
Sure. The lore is if the M5 works under actual conditions as well as it has under simulated tests, it will mean a revolution in space technology as great as warp drive. So this is clearly from that episode with the android war gamer. I think that was also the episode that we got to see Daystrom.
Okay, yeah.
Of the Daystrom Institute. Or the he who for whom it was named.
Yes.
There's a really cool word for that, and it's just escaping me at the moment.
Namesake.
Namesake. There's like an actual word for that, what that means, and I haven't them at the moment, apparently.
All right.
In any case,
I was thinking of exploit drought, by the way. Anthro, Astro, 2 treachery, and integrity less than 25, and 6 acquisition or a lot of cunning.
Yes.
Because that'd be hilarious. I want to just do that mission now.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Yeah, so brilliant. Ooh, investigate Maquis activity went up as a spoiler today. That is a pretty mission. The conversion.
Ooh.
Plus 5 if this is your first completed mission. So, pretty true to the original. Except it looks like they added Dominion to the attemptability. That's interesting.
Oh, well, they are the ones who did eventually quash the...
quite.
The Maquis activity.
Yeah.
Not so much with the diplomacy, rather.
They could probably send some Vorta and figure it out, and then... You know, pull out the Vorta and send in the Jem'Hadar.
Yeah.
Ooh, strength. Or
is it always? No, this is strength rather than integrity.
And it's 10 more.
And it's a lot more, so that's interesting. That's a nice twist. Diplomacy plus lots of strength.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, interesting. Okay. I think we've yammered on long enough here.
Yeah. Well, we do still have, as you mentioned, that bag full of Section 31 buttons. And if you count this episode as 198 and our next recorded game episode as 199, that means we're only 2 episodes away from 200. And we've gotten some suggestions, but not as many as we'd like. So if you are still interested in suggesting things that we should talk about or perform or... discuss or debate or just not have a 200, if your suggestion is that we should just end at 199, then we cannot send you a button because you're a jerk. But other suggestions we're open to.
Yeah, so if you want to send us an email, it's section31@danhammond.com.
And I believe it's very clear at this point that we are out of intelligence for this week. We will thank Warp 11 because they're awesome, and thank you all for coming out to the tournament this weekend. That was a lot of fun. I was excited to play 1E again. Good luck at Gen Con, both to Sir Dan and to everybody else who's going to meet up there. Look forward to hearing your reports and living vicariously through you. I will be monitoring. I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your power in the Continental Universe.
And I will draw the end. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31. Section 31.
It's right. Much better than the Incontinental Universe.
Yikes.